perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am indeed Bill Snyder, and thanks so much for listening, no matter how you're listening to us, whether it's on Breadbox Media, Evangelism Radio, or right here on Patchwork Heart Radio. But I could not be more excited today to have Joe Sikora on the phone with me talking about his brand new book, Defying Gravity. Joe is a former actor and stuntman and was a police officer for 17 years in the city of Santa Monica. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist and the host of the popular Joe Sikora Show on Relevant Radio. Joe, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with me here today on Young Catholics Respond.
Hey, Bill, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, Joe, this book, Defying Gravity, really, the subtitle of it is How Choosing Joy Lifted My Family from Death to Life. And That means that you went through some big tragedies with your children. Can you just maybe give us a little bit of the overview of your life and this tragedy?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I started off, a young guy. I got married relatively young, 23 years old, to my high school sweetheart, and we had a lot of dreams, as most young couples do when they get married, and we talk about having children and what kind of jobs we want to have with our life and where we want to live, all of those things. And our dream turned into somewhat of a nightmare when I'm sort of cutting to the chase here, but when our oldest son John turned 7 years old, I was outside playing ball with him. And we had just purchased our first little house, and we had been married for about 8 years at this point. And I was playing ball with him, and the ball kind of sailed by him, and I thought, boy, he's either a really bad baseball player or something's wrong. And I said, John, go pick up the ball. And he goes, well, where is it? And I said, boy, it's right there. And he didn't see it. And so I went in and I said, boy, I think there's something wrong with his eyes, I told my wife. And we took him to the doctor, just the eye doctor. And he says, yeah, here's these glasses. He said, but, take him to another doctor because his retinas don't look right. And so we did. We went to, one eye doctor to another eye doctor. And he said, doesn't look good. His retinas don't look good. I want you to get a further biopsy. I believe he might have some eye condition that could cause him to lose his vision. So, of course, we started freaking out.
Yeah.
And thinking, how do you raise a blind child? And then we, again, go into another doctor. They said, well, it's worse than that. Your son actually has a very rare neurological disease called juvenile Batten disease. And they described the progression, and blindness was only the first symptom. Later in early teens, kids with juvenile Batten suffer with seizures. They lose cognitive and motor function. Feeding tubes, and they die generally late teens to early 20s. So we thought our world, absolutely couldn't get any worse. And as you had mentioned, I was an actor at the time and kind of a working actor, certainly not famous, but making a living. And my wife was working as a nurse. But my career kind of was, in the doldrums, and my wife was freaking out because of the diagnosis, understandably. So I was working as a reserve police officer at the time of this diagnosis, and basically we came to the conclusion that it would be best for me to sort of forego, my dreams of an actor and become a full-time cop, for benefits and security for the family and everything else. So I did that while I was in the police academy, the second police academy, because I was already a reserve, but I had to go back to an academy to be full-time. I got a knock on the door one day because I had to live away from home, about an hour and a half away from home. And my wife was at the door, and she said, basically, Ben, our other son, has the same disease. So,
oh my gosh,
clearly, yeah, it's you just, when you think life is going to hit you with a jab, and it comes in with a full on knockout punch.
Yeah,
you spend a lot of time trying to recover. So
absolutely,
that's kind of how this whole journey began.
Yeah, so that kind of sent you down, I imagine, sent you way down. And had to lean on some type of faith beyond yourselves. I mean, what was your faith life like at that point?
Yeah, well, we were both, you know, I was raised Catholic. I had, you know, just always kind of been Catholic. My wife was actually a convert to the faith. She was raised Baptist. You know, 5 years into our marriage, she actually converted. But, you know, we enjoyed our church, but, you know, we sort of experienced that existential crisis, which, and quite honestly, you know, I know our story seems unique. We're dealing with these overwhelming circumstances, but I really believe that all of us, Bill, you and me, all of your listeners, are going to encounter this kind of crisis in our life, you know, whether it's a health crisis or losing our job or a divorce or the death of a family member. We're going to face our own death. And at some point, you really force, no matter how casual or rich your faith is, at some point, you're going to really say, okay, what is it all about? And we were really forced to ask that question. You know, of course, we asked the questions, you know, why God, why me, why is this happening? But we kind of moved beyond that fairly quickly. And again, because I think we both realized, and again, I go into a lot of detail in the book, Defying Gravity. It's a fairly easy read, but it's, you know, it's filled with the sort of all the segues and transitions I'm talking about. But we really very early on decided that, you know, although we wanted to die, this is a parent's worst nightmare. You know, we weren't given that choice. We were given a choice how to live. And we had to choose to live joyfully, because that was the greatest gift that we could give our boys, John and Ben, is to really begin to try to choose life and live joyfully and laugh and play and live deeply in our faith. And so we began a lot of difficult conversations, including heaven. You know, we spoke a lot about heaven and what life really means. And we really experienced a lot of miracles along the way. You know, we clearly prayed for the miracle of healing, and that didn't happen. But I think we were given a more profound healing, which is, you know, we found real life in the midst of suffering. So, you know, again, that's kind of a long-winded question, but our faith had to become real. God had to become real. Otherwise, everything was meaningless.
Absolutely.
And so we began to choose life, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned God being real, and I think as Americans today, and maybe that is the number one struggle, because I think Satan probably has destroyed that, you know, in our culture, or he's trying to destroy that, the fact that this God is real. And did your boys, when you have tragedy like this, and you experience that, you know, personal tragedy, okay, yeah, from the parental perspective, but did your boys come to understand and know and see God in their illness and have something that maybe the rest of the world didn't have?
You know, I've got to tell you, Bill, and I know every parent says my child is special, and I'm not saying my child is, you know, more unique or more special than anybody else's child, but John and Ben... you know, John was the oldest. He passed away 2.5 years ago. Ben is still with us, you know, thank you, God, and we're enjoying it. He's 23 years old. His brother died at 24. But they both had these just incredible, incredible spirits. John had this just tenderness and love. I mean, from the time he exited the womb to touch and transform lives. I mean, he had the most significant impact on his friends, on adults. I mean, he just changed lives with his simple love and touch. And Ben, who is just kind of, you know, our wild man, you know, I mean, again, from the womb, he had this very, very strong personality, you know, would just aggravate you as a parent. It was so tough and difficult at times. But you'd also love, you know, he wrestled with life. You know, he was not some gentle soul. He was a fighter, a warrior. And Ben, and again, I talk about these, you know, a lot of different stories in the book, Defying Gravity. And by the way, I'm not making a dime off the book. All of the author's proceeds, we are donating to an organization, Beyond Batten Disease.
Fantastic.
But Ben, Ben had these incredible, incredible visions. And I almost hated, I didn't hate, but I was reluctant almost to speak about them in the book, because I thought, if people read this, they're going to say, what? No, you guys are crazy. You're making this up. But I just thought, you know, I've got to tell this story honestly. And so I talked about some of these things that my boys would describe, and my youngest son, Ben, who you wouldn't think, you know, he had visions of Mary. You know, we went to Medjugorje one time, and he saw Mary. I'm not saying Ben's a visionary, but I guess he is. He saw her. You know, he's had Mary visit him in his bedroom and talk to him and hold his hand and comfort him. He's seen his brother, you know, since his brother John has passed. You know, so again, we've experienced all these miracles, but the book isn't about miracles per se. It's not like I'm trying to bring people to the faith because of these miracles that we've experienced. Yeah. What I'm trying to sort of convey is the miracle of life and the miracle of a love of a God who cares so deeply about us that he enters into the world and he lives inside of you and me. And when you experience that, you experience real life. And so, you know, again, my boys had an incredible faith, journey.
That's amazing. For our listeners, you're listening to the voice of Joe Sikora. He is the host of the popular show, The Joe Sikora Show, on Relevant Radio. He's also been an actor, police officer, stuntman, has done incredible things. But the amazing thing is that he is just, you can just tell, Joe, you're a man of deep faith. You're a man who has been able to lead his family through unspeakable tragedy and now feel called to share that with the world. And how beautiful is that? It just is something that is an honor to be talking with you today. It's an honor for our listeners to be able to hear your story. I want to just take a short break here, Joe, and then when we come back, continue to talk with you more and more about this journey and also how people can get their hands on Defying Gravity, how choosing joy lifted my family from death. That's the title of the book. It's published out by Ignatius Press. So we'll be right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross, led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com,
or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to be with you. We are continuing our conversation with Joe Sikora. He is the popular host of the Joe Sikora Show, but he has got so much more than that going on in his life. He has authored a book detailing all of it. We were talking about a lot of it in the first half of the interview. So if you are joining us in the middle, scroll on back or listen to it on podcast later and hear some of his amazing story. The book is called Defying Gravity, How Choosing Joy Lifted My Family from Death to Life. And Joe, I wanted to maybe pick up our conversation with, you talked about your deep faith. You talked about this incredible diagnosis for both of your boys that is fatal. And I want to maybe talk with you a little bit now about the day-to-day grind, because, you know, faith puts us, you know, in a position to orient our minds, but there is still a day-to-day grind of going to hospitals and going to doctor's offices and going to these appointments and dealing with illness that is debilitating. Can you just talk about that day-to-day grind and how much faith really helps in that day-to-day grind?
Yeah. Boy, great question. And I think, Bill, you and I could talk about this for hours and not scratch the surface. You know, we were... as most people, you know, when you encounter disability, especially if it's something that comes on to you, you're not born with, you have to figure out a lot. You've got to improvise a lot in life. And, you know, first we had to deal with and learn how to care for boys who lost their sight, who couldn't see, you know, and just the whole idea of navigating life and how does that impact friendships. And it does. You know, the reality is, I'd like to say, oh, you know, there was no impact. Life went on normal. But that's not the truth. You know, when you encounter disability, whether it is you're in a wheelchair or you lose your sight or your hearing, it changes everything. It changes your relationship to the world and to people. And, you know, for us, one of the things that's difficult is, I don't know if you ever get used to it, but, you know, it's like people looking at you, you know, guiding your blind son up to communion at Mass or, you know, through the mall or in a wheelchair. And, you know, all of that is difficult dealing with doctors, you know, your own incredible story, you know, with your heart issues and everything. You know, it's like sometimes it's great experiences, you know, it's very humbling again when you're dealing with the disability, you know, and sometimes it's deeply enriching because it's humbling in a good way where you say, oh boy, I really actually have to rely on other people. I need to get good at asking for help. And, you know, sometimes ego gets in the way of doing that. You know, it's Amen. Like, I don't want to ask for help. I want to be the one giving help. And, Amen. You know, we had so many incredible experiences with different doctors, some good, some bad. And I'll never forget our first experience. I actually made the dedication to him. One of the people was our pediatrician. And my wife brought the boys there for some wellness check. And he was like, Batten disease, what is that? And every doctor we went to had to educate themselves, you know, what this disease is all about. He just was kind of insensitive at first. And my wife came out of the office just in tears and she was crying. And the nurse there saw him and she went in and kind of read the doctor the riot act, I think. And he came back out and he was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he became just an incredible, dear, supportive man to us. I mean, just made himself available 24/7. But, you know, not, as I'm sure you know, not all experiences with doctors or with people are always good. You know, I know John and Ben, one of the most painful things for us as a parent was seeing, you know, they had some incredible friendships You know, we've been really blessed with just beautiful people in our life, both family and friends. But again, as you know, life doesn't go on, quote unquote, normally, you know, and so friends who, you know, grew in independence, our boys grew in dependence. And they would go off and spend the night together or go on dates. And our kids more and more were, you know, sitting home with us on a Friday or Saturday night. It's like that was a drag for them. They saw the difference, the different path that their life was taken, you know, from their friends. Yeah. But I remember just like, and I didn't write this in the book, you know, but I remember one incident in the hospital. And I know you can speak about hospital things and what that means. But we had this doctor, and she was brilliant, as most doctors are. But she was just like, you know, you could tell she didn't want to touch us. She didn't want to touch the disease. So she'd say, questions? And I finally talked to her. I said, hey, doc, I got to talk to you a second. And I said, you know, as a marriage and family therapist, I'm always looking at how people relate yeah. to each other. And I said, you know, you're kind of keeping us at bay. And I said, you know, patients who like their doctors, those doctors don't get sued. You know, patients who feel supported and loved, they do better with their diseases and their prognosis. And I said, you know, slow down and see us, you know, as people like you. And again, it was a little bit awkward. My wife's looking at me like, don't talk to that doctor like that. I said, no, you've got to know this, you know. But, you know, it's an interesting journey, the whole medical side of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, just as you kind of highlighted there with that personal touch, did that help you transition careers again? You know, with that personal touch of, I mean, I really need to learn how to relate to people. I need to learn what's going on in them so that my boys can not only have a quality of life that God wants them to have, you know, while they're here, but also, you know, that the impact of their story is going to help them, you know. So there's so much, you know, that is a blessing. Did that really move you into what you're doing now?
Well, it's interesting because it's a great question, and I would say yes, but let me answer it this way. I never intended to be a marriage and family therapist in my life. I wanted to be an actor, and had I been successful, had I met with fame and fortune, it probably would have ruined my life and jeopardized my soul. But I didn't want to be a cop full time. You know, I became a cop out of necessity to care for my family. But that was really the first place where I think my life was significantly moved from self-focused to other focus. You know, I mean, as a cop, you know, you deal with people in their lives really at their worst, you know, when they've suffered, you know, they've been beaten up or robbed or in a bad car accident or, you know, suffering, you know, with a loss or death of a loved one. And it was kind of that journey from self to other. And one day, you know, when I was working as a police officer and I thought, man, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. My family needs me. It's like this is such an emotionally demanding job. And a dear friend of mine, who is a clinical psychologist, he said, Joe, you'd be a great therapist. He said, you know, you're curious about people. You're good with people. And I said, well, what would it take? He goes, well, you go back to school for a couple of years. And he explained the process. I thought about it for about 8 minutes. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. So I went back to school and became a therapist. And then, of course, you know, that life is really about entering into the messiness and the difficulty of other people's lives and walking with them to try to find life again. And, you know, that was, you know, also what I was doing with my kids. You know, you can choose to embrace the struggle, to pick up the cross, as Christ would say, or you can run from it. You know, we're given a choice. And yet, again, you know, each one of us is given that choice to pick up a cross daily. You know, the gospel is very clear. You know, Jesus says, don't run from the suffering. You know, watch me, work with me, walk with me, and I'll show you how to do this. And that was kind of our faith journey. It's like, how do you deal with a disease you know is going to kill you? Well, you walk with Christ, and you experience that grace that he offers everyone, you know, everyone. And that's what is so transforming in life. So, you know, it really, and again, the gospel, clearly, life isn't about you and me. It's about living for others. It's about, you know, Christ died for us too, but it's, you know, you got to love and love others as you love yourself. So, you know, that was kind of that journey. Again, it was a complicated one, but
yeah,
you know, I do talk about it in the book. Because people do scratch their head and go, huh? Actor, stuntman, cop, therapist, radio host?
Yeah.
And the radio gig, you asked me about that, Bill. I never in a million years thought I could be on radio. I've always loved radio, you know, and listened to talk radio and been a fan of it. Never in a million years did I think I could have a radio show. And now here I am on 130 stations on relevant radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, several years ago, you know, I heard they were looking for a radio host, and long story short, I sent in a demo, and because I also write music and record music, I'm real familiar with studio stuff. So I did an intro with music, and they said, hey, you're good at this. And they actually said, hey, do you want a job doing this? We need a therapist who understands the faith, who can combine these two things. And I spent the next week trying to talk them out of hiring me. I said, no, I can't do this. I'm kidding. I'm a fake. I'm a fraud. They said, no, we think you can actually do this.
Wow.
And so I began doing, you know, this, and it was scary. It still is scary, you know, but I think, again, that's what God calls us to do. He pushes us out of our comfort zone and into this adventurous life to do things that we look at ourselves and say, I can't do that. And I say that too. Every time, you know, between me and you, don't tell anybody, but before every show I get down on my knees and I say, Lord, I can't do this. And he says, you know, it's like God says to me, you're right, Joe, but I can work through you. And I think that's the message for everyone. It's like, you can't do it, but you can through God, with God, you know, with his grace and his strength.
Amen. Joe, an incredible story. I want to make sure I've got, you know, 2 minutes left. As you know, in radio, we only have so much time each episode. And so I want to make sure that our listeners know where to find you, find your show, find the book, and all that. So why don't you go ahead and give us the rundown?
Well, you're very generous. First of all, the book, Defying Gravity, How Choosing Joy Lifted My Family from Death to Life. Did I get the title right? I'm not looking at it. I know Defying Gravity is right. I'm just kidding. It's published by Ignatius Press. You can get it at Amazon, on Amazon, or from Ignatius. And again, all the proceeds are being donated to charity to support other families with Batten disease. So whether the book makes $10 or $10 million, it's all going to charity. And the book is an easy read. Most people who have read it so far, and I say this humbly, I'm very touched and moved, but they say, I picked it up and I couldn't put it down till I finished it. You know, it's a little bit of a page. It is an emotional journey. You know, most people say, I laughed, I cried. I said, oh, good. And the radio thing is, again, the show is the Joe Sikora Show on Relevant Radio. And, you know, we're from Maui to Maine or L.A. to New York on various stations. You can download the app, you know, Relevant Radio app. And I'm on Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific. So, you know, every day. But it's a wild journey, isn't it, Bill?
It is a wild journey. It is a wild journey in Catholic media. It's a wild journey being an author and all of that. So it's just incredible. Joe, thank you so much for being with me here on Young Catholics Respond today. It has truly been a pleasure to talk with you and be here.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate your generosity, Bill. I wish you all God's blessings.
All right. Well, thank you. And this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I am Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program, or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.